Yes, good, thank you.
Director Patrick? Director Richards?
He's on that.
Director Peralta, here. And President Karen Macedonia.
Here.
Okay, so that gives us quorum. So at 5:11 PM on Tuesday, January 16th, I will call a special meeting of the East Kern Healthcare District Board of Directors to order. We are a hybrid meeting with in-person at 9300 Northview Boulevard, California City, California, 93505. I need a motion for an approval of the agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Which is pages 1 through 5.
Yeah, I'll read those seven.
Can I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Director R. Macedonia first, Director Lois Peralta second. Roll call, please, Lois.
Director Patrick. Director Richard Macedonia.
Yes.
Director Peralta, yes. And President Karen Macedonia.
Yes. Public comments. Members of the public are welcome to address the board on any matter not on the agenda and over which the board has authority. If you wish to speak, please state your name for the record and limit your comment to 5 minutes. Are there any public comments?
I have one public comment.
Identify yourself, please.
Jessica Rojas. The one public comment I had is I'll resign on that. Never mind. It's okay. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So we have no public comments. Going on to item number 5, community announcements. Patty Orr, do you have any community announcements?
Yeah, I have 4 of them. The first one is the 50th anniversary celebration of the first flight of the F-16 out of Edwards Air Force Base, which is going to be taking place on January 25th from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. The second one is Plane Crazy Saturday. It's going to be held on January 20th at the Mojave Air and Spaceport. There's going to be a presentation about the latest happenings at NASA, including a presentation on the X-59, which is a supersonic flight, kind of like the Concorde. The third announcement I have is California City Chamber of Commerce Breakfast Brew on the 25th from 8 to 9 in the morning. There is going to be a ribbon cutting ceremony for the East Kern Family Resources Center in Mojave on January 29th at 10 a.m. And they're asking everybody to RSVP before Friday the 26th. And then finally, the Safe Haven Kids League in California City is going to be holding an annual Spread the Love Kids Winter Coat and Community Resources Giveaway on February 3rd. From 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's going to be held at their new building at 7140 Landis Drive in California City by Balsitas Park. That's all I have, Madam President.
Okay, just a second. Patty, I'm confused. You said two things. You said we either RSVP for the Mojave Resources. Do you have a phone number or an email address to RSVP?
Yeah, the Plane Crazy Saturday is going to be held on January 20th, this coming Saturday, at the Mojave Air and Spaceport. And the presentation...
Yeah, you said the 29th of January.
Yeah, the presentation is going to be held inside the Mojave Air and Spaceport boardroom, just off the Voyager restaurant. And the presentation starts at 11.
Okay, and that's on the 29th, and that needs an RSVP, right?
I'm sorry?
That's on the 29th, and that needs an RSVP, correct?
Right, they're asking you to RSVP because seating is limited. You can RSVP to info@mojavemuseum.org.
Okay.
Either that or get a hold.
Okay, info.
Yeah, get a hold of Kathy Hanson.
Info. MojaveMuseum.org.
Right, it's Saturday, January 20th.
Okay. Now, you said Safe Haven Kids League, but you gave a Landis Avenue. Is their new address? I thought their new address was on South Loop.
Yeah, the annual, that's the Safe Haven Kids League, is going to have their annual Spread the Love Winter Coat giveaway at the Community Resources Building. Free coats will be given away, and that's going to be held on February 3rd from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. at Balsitas Park, 7140 Landis Drive in California City.
Okay, so it's not at their headquarters, it's at Balsitas.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I'll send you the flyers by email, Madam President.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, that's all I have.
Okay, Jessica, you said you had
something? Yeah, one I was waiting to see if Patty said is also for the California City Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center. They're having their grand opening and ribbon cutting January 27th, 2024 from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Ribbon cutting is at 10 a.m. Food and gifts and more will be present. It's part of a historical California City Day. They will have a display by the East Kern Historical Society as well.
And is this at the Chamber Building on Neuralia and CCB?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Neuralia and CCB. And that is, from henceforward, that is the Chamber and the Visitor Center?
Correct.
They've changed their name. Okay, all right, thank you. All right, moving on, the Consent App Calendar. All items on the Consent Calendar are considered routine, non-controversial, and will be approved by one motion if no member of the board, staff, or public wishes to comment or ask questions. Public comments are to be limited to 5 minutes. Roll call vote required. So we will go all the way through these one at a time, and then I'll ask for a motion at the end. Financial reports. Eva, that's you. For profit and loss balance sheet and check register, and that is pages 1 through 7 of the addition part B.
I'm sorry. Yes, and I cannot see what you have. I actually sent two. I sent one for November, which I noticed was on the agenda, but I also sent December. So I'm going to go over the November because
we don't have the November papers. I didn't see that. All I saw was December.
Okay.
So all we have right now is December, and that is a good catch there. Because it says November, but we're doing December.
Yes, there was sufficient time to complete those. I do have a November, and I have sent those over as well. But there's a couple things that I do want to highlight. On the profit and loss, if you'll notice, we have for December, let me get to that December then. For December, you're going to notice the property tax, the very first line, is $135,902. In December alone, we received $112,600, basically $600 for the month. So that is a good part of what comes in for that property tax for December. As we receive more, of course, we will be reporting that. There is not a lot of other, most of the other items are normal routine operating. The audit expense, I do believe that does include in December the audit expense, which is account number 6285, which is now has been paid. I do believe we're holding that check until it has been completed. So
Mary and Jessica, mute yourselves if you're going to be talking, please.
Okay.
In December, at the end of December, there's still a negative operating of $244,501. So we've still got those expenditures going on, but once again, that does not include the insurance payments that were in the prior year. So that's where we're going to see those differences. Now, okay, as far as the balance sheet, cash balances are always the one that we take a look at. Currently, in all of the accounts, you have $1,727,000 in all of the accounts. There are a couple of things that I do want to bring up. One of those, of course, is the cancer fund and the cancer CD. Those two amounts, which is roughly $40,000+, those are restricted funds and those are not for general operating expenses. The account number 1151, the LAIF, fair market value, that is an audit adjustment, that's a non-cash adjustment, but they have to bring, when the audit is completed, you have to bring that investment to the market value at the time of the audit. So that is what that $10,000 represents. We do have some receivables, and I'm going to go back and do some research on that receivable. I've talked to Karen before to make sure that we know what that receivable is, and it has not been paid. That is on one of the renters. Other than that, there's not a lot. Oh, on the top of the second page of the balance sheet, you see the $139,000. In accounts payable, once again, just a reminder, those are items that were listed so that we were contracts. It's Clearwater House. So those are the and Jalisco is in there. Those are part of what the district has committed. That way we can keep track of what the district still is on those accounts or all those contracts.
Okay, so the back on the profit and loss, that $244,000, that's because of the construction contracts, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so we have that on there and then on this balance sheet. And there is one thing on this balance sheet, account number 1531, the new flooring. I think that that is in the BART's lease somewhere. And I think that money was already spent, but we need to take a look at that. So that is something that we need to verify.
Yes, and that current asset, what that is on the balance sheet is just saying that the district expended that money. And I know there was a reduction of rent, I believe, at the time. But that's still an asset. That was a major improvement. And so that's the reason it's on the balance sheet in that amount. That's not actually money to be expended.
Okay, all right. So I think there was a bigger picture of that, but we'll have to take a look and see. And then on the check register, we have the final check, which was the 40282, the CSDA membership dues, that we processed that before the end of the year as a pre-issue, and we don't have a policy on pre-issues, but this membership dues needed to be paid by the 31st of December, and that is the membership that allows us access to our workers' comp. So that's why we did that, and it's showing in two places. It's showing on the check detail, and then because the board had not seen it, it's coming forward on the vendor payment list as the very first item. So does the board, okay, and Eva, what is our date that we're aiming for in February?
I'm sorry, you cut out about that time.
Do we have a date for the training in February yet?
We do not. And so we can get that set up at any point during that first week. I will be here that first week of February, so we just need to schedule a time.
Okay, Director Patrick just arrived at 5:24 p.m. Welcome, Maya. I thought you were someplace else.
I was on Facebook.
Now she's here, okay. All right, so Eva, with the...
Just one other thing on the check register, when you look at this, remember the very top of that is the Mission Bank. The second part of that is Bank of the Sierra.
Right, and Mission Bank is where our debit card goes, it's where the tax payments are being received, and the Bank of the Sierra is where our checks are being written from.
Yes.
Okay, so when are we going to aim for the training for the financial statements?
Well, let me get my calendar.
It just started. Nope, not yet.
The first week of, starting the 5th, pretty much that week I could do it any day. February 5th, that week.
Okay, so anytime, okay, so I'll work it out with Mary.
Okay.
And then, Alex, for a training, we don't need you, right? Or do we?
You don't need me for a training.
Okay, so we can pick any date and not worry about your, anytime between the 5th and the 9th and not worry about your schedule. Okay, so Mary, we'll talk about that after the meeting. Okay, moving on. In the consent calendar, we've had the financial reports. We are moving on to page 6, 7, and 8, which are the checks that we're paying, all just normal, regular bills. And this is big because we didn't have any meetings since the 5th of December. And the debit card usage for trash bags at Ace and an extension cord and paper clips at Amazon and a desk calendar from Levenger. So I don't think, does any board member have a question on the check register?
No.
Or not the check register, the vendor payments. That's just normal bills. And then we have, Mary did yeoman's work. Thank you very much, Mary. We have all the way from October 25th to January 2nd with minutes. These are still in draft form. And so on them, I'm going to ask for an approval subject to adjustments. And if we make any adjustments because we find a mistake, we will log it, and that will always be there. But that will allow us to upload these minutes onto the website, because right now it is impacting our searchability because we don't have the minutes on the website. So that's all done. And then Mary's contract was until this meeting. And Alex, I wanted to ask you, I would like to ask the board to extend Mary's contract, but with the work that we're doing on the employee handbook and the admin code, what length of time shall we extend this until we can get to a contract which will have the new, all the new incorporated stuff in it?
I think it would be conservative to estimate we would complete a revision of the employee handbook and then draft a new agreement based on that in 30 days. I would say 2 weeks, it's probably a rush. 4 weeks is probably more conservative.
Okay, so it would be ready by the regular meeting March 5th gives us more than enough time, right?
March 5th should be more than enough time.
Okay, so I will be asking for an extension of Mary's existing contract until March 5th, or sooner if a new contract is drafted and ready to go. But we do have some changes to the admin code and to the employee handbook with new laws the 1st of January. So we have to deal with that.
And just to give a little more context to that, I took a look at the employee handbook. It hasn't been updated in a few years. And some of our other special districts have recently asked us to go through and update it. New employment laws kick in pretty much every year at this point, so it's a best practice to tidy things up and, you know, bring in whatever, incorporate the new laws and generally give it a fresh set of eyes every few years. We're recommending the instruct legal counsel to do that, and this will be through our employment law specialists.
Okay, and that, I think, is in... That's E under project update, so we'll vote on that in section E under number 7. Okay, so Mary, make a note for the annual calendar that we should be looking at both the employee handbook and the admin code in January, just to make sure every January. That would be an annual thing, and then action can be taken as needed. Okay, so board, any questions on the consent calendar, which is financial reports, warrants, minutes, and the contract extension?
I have nothing.
They will be going over it to make sure that it complies with the law, and then it will come back to the board for acceptance for approval.
Okay.
Yes.
So a telephone question.
Yeah, no, it will come back to the board when they're done with it. So right now we're aiming for the March 5th meeting or before.
Well, we'll probably bring back as a red line of the existing employee handbook so you can see exactly what we propose has changed, and we'll explain why.
Okay, Alex.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
If I ask you for a side-by-side, am I going to drive you crazy rather than red line, just side-by-side?
That will drive me crazy.
It won't drive me crazy because I won't be the person doing the review, so side-by-side.
Okay. Yeah, it's
I don't see why that shouldn't be doable.
Okay, it's so much easier to see what we're changing and what it was before than with the red line version, so side-by-side would be really awesome. Okay.
I think that's easy to do.
Can we just, the red line is easier for me than the side by side.
Okay, you want both? Okay. Alex, I don't know if you can format both, but you can let me know.
I think we can do both.
Okay. All right. Any public questions on the consent calendar?
I have none.
Oh, public? Yeah. I have a question that I'm not sure if I can ask it here. It has to do with a question for Ava that has to do with, like, staff. Would I be able to ask that question here for Ava? Because she does the financials.
How is it related to the financials?
Maybe just because she's the one that does financials.
Oh, good.
I had a question for Ava that I wanted to know. That's why I didn't know if I should have a public comment or...
Okay, Alex, I don't know how to handle this.
All right, I'm not sure I understand. I didn't hear the question. Could you repeat it?
I had a question for Ava, since she does the financials and, like, our CPA and stuff. I had a question pertaining to staff. Am I able to ask that question here?
Well, that's fine as a public comment.
That is fine.
That I think so. I don't know if it's I don't know what the question is, so I don't know if it's germane.
Okay, I'll ask and then we can strike it if needed. Ava, the question that staff had for you was, we haven't been receiving our pay stubs. Do you know how we're supposed to be getting those, or is that something that you send out?
Yes, we send them over every time we do the payroll. They're emailed to the office. So they're dispersed at that point. We don't mail them directly to the employee, but we do mail them to the office, emails to the office. If you need any stuff at any time, of course we can provide that. Mm-hmm. But yes, they are emailed to the office.
Okay. And when we get the copy, they are mailed by physical mail.
I've only received one since I've been here.
To update addresses, probably.
My address never changed, yeah. And I only got one in the mail, and that was like 4 months ago.
Okay, so Mary, we need to make sure on the payrolls that every time the payroll is turned in, when the check stubs come back to us, that we are physically mailing them a copy to the staff and the directors.
So the last ones we just go with the district manager for?
I mean, when I will always need it, but if I need it, I'll just email you when she can make that scene.
So she does, it's not an email situation. Physically sends us the paper.
No, she's in the email, when they come to us, we print them. We print them, and then they're supposed to be mailed.
How do they come to us?
Via email. And then remember, I know you were mailing them.
She does them. I know I mailed them twice.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll follow up and make sure that, because that is a office where we are mailing them.
Yeah, and just to let you know as well, the WTs have been completed, so we will be mailing those to the address on file from our office. So those will.
Can you just send mine via email? All this paper is a lot. Can you send mine via email?
Yes, we can do that.
I see doing something by email. I ain't got a single piece of paper. I'm the local list.
There's a little bit of bounce back in that room, so I'm not hearing you clearly. But from what I'm understanding, you want everything emailed to you?
Yes, me personally. I can't speak for the directors. They have my paper on the table, so they get my paper.
Okay.
I do.
Okay, so Eva, you told me today the W-2s are done.
Yes.
So today is Tuesday, so by the first of next week, everybody should have their tax forms, correct?
Yes, they should. Yes.
Okay.
If you don't have it?
Advise Mary.
Okay.
But I don't want to go through what we went through last year. Okay, so moving on. Oh, I need a motion to approve the consent calendar.
And that includes the extension of the contract and all the. Okay, I'll motion.
Okay, Director Lamaya Patrick made it first. I need a second.
I'll second.
Director Peralta. Roll call, please, Lamaya.
Director Patrick?
Yes.
Director Richard Macedonia?
Yes.
Director Peralta? Yes. And President Karen Macedonia?
Yes, so that's a 4-0 to approve the consent calendar. Moving on to project updates, North Loop and Bay Avenue, Posolito's report is in here, pages 31 to 35. We are moving forward. We approved the change order. The materials have been brought in. We have a new schedule. The exterior framing will start on January 15th. And they are in the midst of it now. It's expected to be completed by January 25th. The roofing work is being worked on between January 9th and expected to be completed by February 9th.
Oh, the most important thing is
the exterior part so that the building is sealed. The beams, the contractor. We've got the photos in the packet of the work between the 8th and the 11th. And Toledo is planning on being here in Cal City on January 20th to check where we are and make sure we're on track.
On the Saturday?
On the what?
On a Saturday?
Yeah. Yeah, that's when he generally comes to town, is on Saturdays.
Okay.
So all of that is against official order. Any questions on Bay North Loop? We're reaching out looking for contractors interested in doing work in California City. Posolito says he has one local contractor interested in visiting the site, but will have to check their license and bonding capability. And I have been in touch with Edwards Air Force Base. It turns out that Edwards has an office specifically to engage with small business in the area. Mm-hmm. And I have talked to them about our difficulty finding people that were able to work So if they can share their list with us, and part of what I've told them is we need, we're looking for a tile roofing contractor. So maybe there is some way that we can work with the base for small local vendors. So that's going on. Do you have anything? You've got the work that was done here on the logs. No, the back door.
And the back door. It's on the paper.
Yeah, but they don't know why we had to do the back door.
Okay, the back door that Justina would use all the time to go out and dump her trash, you know, was a problem. The gardener called me one day and said the back door was wide open. But I can't blame Justina because the door just wasn't working properly, never did. So we got Ed from Cal City Lock and Key, Classic Lock and Key. Mm-hmm. And he was out here and he fixed the door and cleaned all the, you know, he just does a super job and made a bunch of extra keys for us. So that's what that's all here for.
Okay, so we have repaired that and moving on. Steve, this is you. The annexation process, your report is in the packet. The only thing I changed was that Ridgecrest Regional has alerted the public that they are temporarily suspending labor and delivery rather than discontinuing.
Right.
But we've had two meetings and we're getting into, you want to tell them about where we are now? It gets very complicated.
Yes, it's very complicated. So the Ridgecrest Regional Hospital has engaged the consultant group from P&P, Pritchard and Proctor, I can't remember, the engineering firm, to do the LAFCO consulting process, which is a very technical process. And I spoke to the consultant there this week. He and I are going back and forth this week to nail down the timeline of events that's going to happen between now and this process. Our role as Turney West is to lead the stakeholder, the community engagement process through this process. So we have to do this very methodically that lines up with their process and when different elements have to happen in the LAFCO application annexation process. So basically, we will hold a general public, well, right now we're doing interviews of around 20-25 key stakeholders in the community just to listen to say, are we missing anything, any concerns that you see in this process, anything that we didn't anticipate at this point. We want to know that with these folks, and we hope to make them champions of the process. Then at some point in the very near future, as soon as we get the go-ahead from the LAFCO consultant, we're going to schedule a general public information meeting, giving at least 3 weeks notice from when that, you know, after this, the notice goes out. There'll be at least two public notices via newspaper separated by at least a week or so between, as well as notices at the hospital, your board meeting, public library, yada, yada, a bunch of other public places. So we'll hold this public information meeting to let the public come and hear about the issues that we're facing. We're trying to get a bunch of information now from Kern County, the Kern County itself, about how various elements of this work, this process will work, so we have all the information for the public that we'll need so we can answer any and all questions that the public might have at that meeting. We want to make sure we answer those as forthrightly and transparently as we possibly can so that no one feels any need to question further, or they feel upset, or they feel like they're being railroaded in any way, shape, or form. We want to be as totally transparent as we can possibly be. So that's the goal. Once that public information meeting has taken place, then there'll be a couple weeks to just, in case there's excellent feedback, we want to ponder as the district board, take into consideration, modify our process, anything like that. At that point, I'm sorry, Karen, you corrected me about this. The public information meeting will take place, and then you will vote to on a resolution to request the annexation by LAFCO. You can't make this happen on your own. LAFCO has to do it, but you have to request it. What we heard from the LAFCO consultants is LAFCO was happy with the letter of intent that you and Ridgecrest Regional created, and that was sufficient for their needs, and so that was very all kosher with them, and they're great for that. So that's in process. Then this process is LAFCO's from this point on. They'll do their due diligence, and they've got a whole bunch of criteria they have to meet to get to formal approval of this process. So that's undergoing. Also, I can't speak too much about the technicalities of the LAFCO consultant, but they're in the process of a municipal service review, MSR, which will issue a report about your condition to handle all this and so on and so forth that has to happen for LAFCO to approve the process. So this is one strain of our work. So on our report, you see we finished phase one, which is the letter of intent. We're in the process of taking place, phase two is the community engagement. I'll retitle that so it's more clear. And then in parallel with this, beginning next week, we're going to begin the process of strategic planning with the hospital for shared strategy and goals and eventuality, expected eventuality of all this passing through the system and being approved. Timeline of all this is still unknown. A lot of variables here, but we're moving with all due haste. Questions?
I actually have a question for Alex. Alex, when we get to the public hearing, our understanding is that during the public hearing that we will have a resolution prepared, and we have drafts that are coming out of the consultants that Ridgecrest Regional has hired, so I'll get those to you. Just some, not for us, but what they've used in the past, so we've got some kind of format to follow. But does a public hearing have to be at a regular meeting, or can it be at a special meeting? And are there any special things we need to be aware of to hold the public hearing? And then at that point, I understand that the board takes public input, and then we decide that we want to say yes to the resolution, which is asking LAFCO to actually begin the process.
Okay, well, as to whether it has to be a special meeting or regular meeting, that depends on the content of the resolution. From what I'm understanding, I think that this can be done at a special meeting. Something that involves increases in tax rate and things of that nature operates a little bit differently. But I don't think there's any reason why a LAFCO application resolution or a resolution supporting a memorandum of intent or something of that nature, that can be done at a special meeting. I do think it's a good idea that it be done as a noticed meeting so that the board members can attend and discuss district business.
Okay, all right, so that's, we're like 3 or 4 weeks away from that, maybe a little bit more, but that will be on our radar. And I'll ask you to work on the resolution with us. But then that follows to what goes to the next one, but I want to go back to the questions on the annexation before I move on to D. Do any directors have any questions for Turning West?
No.
No. Okay. Any public questions?
I had two questions. One, in the paperwork, it stated stakeholders. Do we have actual stakeholders? And
sure. In my world, that's a technical term that means anyone who has a stake in this area. There are 10,000 parcels, we understand, give or take, in the annexation area. Those would be folks who this would concern, as well as those who are already members who are landowners in the district currently. So all those, it would include all those folks who are directly affected by this action. So it's the community, both in the district now and the community that would be annexed.
Got it. That makes sense. Thank you for that clarity. Next, for the board of directors, I know it mentions in the paperwork a lot that the Ridgecrest has their board of directors and we have our board of directors. I know in that paperwork we did at the last meeting, it didn't mention anything about merging the two board of directors. Has there been any conversation about those keeping separate boards once we do the annexation merge?
It will have to be an elected director's position. LAFCO makes all of these decisions. The Ridgecrest Regional Board is a nonprofit board. They are working that will be part of what's in the strategic plan, but it will not be a merging of the board because it's two totally separate entities.
Yeah, so they'll still keep their nonprofit, so to speak, portion?
We don't know yet.
Oh.
All that's part of what LAFCO will be determining how the structure is. LAFCO is the local agency formation commission. And East Kern Healthcare is a local agency, so all this comes under what Steve said was the municipal services review. I think, Steve, we've got 17 phases under this, the LAFCO consultant, I think, 17 different steps.
Right, with multiple steps in between all those, so it's a very complicated process. And there's still more to be determined. There's more to be determined in all this.
People that do this for a living.
Yeah, and we'll give you updates as soon as we know them. But there's a number of decision points along the way that we'll have to come to as we get there. So there's several options here that will be discovered as LAFCO tells us more information.
Yeah, perfect. That makes sense. Thank you for that clarity.
Okay, Patty or you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do, Madam President. I have two questions for Mr. Goodwin. Good evening, Mr. Goodwin. My first question is, what does LAFCO stand for?
Sure, it's Local Area Formation Commission. There's one in every county in California, and whenever there's a special need for a special government entity like a commission or like your district, they're the ones who determine how that works and how that gets set up according to state law.
Okay. My second question, Mr. Goodwin, is how soon are you expecting to have the public hearings to where the public can come out and, I don't know how that works. When are you expecting to set up the public hearings?
We're not sure. We're trying to get some really crucial information from the county at the moment that will answer any questions that the public might bring up at that meeting. So we're not sure how long that process will take, 2-3 weeks perhaps shorter, and then it'll be 3 weeks beyond that. So we'll need at least 3 weeks from when we say we've got all the information we need, then to start to alert the public that 3 weeks from now there'll be a public information meeting with several notices in the newspaper that will suffice, and we'll pass it by your attorney to make sure that's all perfect and legally sound, so that meets all the criteria, and that will then take place. So I would guess 6 to 8 weeks out at the outside.
Okay. Also, I would like to let you know that if you can send that information to Madam President Macedonio, she has my email address. Perfect. And you can either get my email address from her and send me the information. That way I can make sure it goes into our local paper.
You're already on our list. We got you right front and center on the middle of our list of people to contact. So absolutely.
Okay. I'm looking forward to attending this meeting. Thank you very much, Mr. Goodwin. Yes.
You're welcome.
Okay. And Patty, just one thing, the way this is listed, this would be all an excellent suggestion. Rather than going straight to a public hearing, that we will do the public information meeting first. And that way everybody has a chance to ask all their questions. We can find out if we thought of everything or if there's something we didn't think about. It's a little less formal. And then after the information that is gathered from the public information hearing that we're comfortable, then we move into the public hearing, which is where the vote will be to actually begin the process.
Okay,
so it's a two-step, but the public's going to be included in both steps.
Okay, so the public information meeting would come first, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Goodwin, with all due respect to you and the district board, would it be all right with you if I went ahead and wrote like a short story on this phase of the annexation process?
I can't see how that would hurt at all. If we make sure we get all the information correct.
Exactly.
What the intent of the board and what we're hoping to do and the reason for us doing this as a district, so on and so forth, that couldn't only help.
Right. I'm in the process right now of transcribing, but also audio recording this meeting, so that way I can get all the information correct in the paper for a separate story besides the meeting. Alex, would that be okay with you, or is that against council rules, or is there something special that I need to do, or that the board needs to do, or what?
Are you audio recording this meeting?
Yes, I am audio recording it, yes.
Well, we're creating a recording too, by the way, but I don't see an issue with recording a public meeting.
Okay, yeah, I was just kind of wondering if I wrote a story as far as this phase of the annexation process, would I be violating anything that the board is doing?
Everything that's discussed in this meeting in open session is public information, and there's no issue with discussing anything that Mr. Goodwin or anyone else has discussed that's in the open session.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to double check and make sure that I wasn't going to be doing anything wrong or anything like that.
Okay,
I'll send you my contact information, my phone number and email, so you have it directly right after this meeting, so you can contact me with any other questions you might have. I know as a writer myself that often you think of something later on that I wish I could have access to, and I'd be happy to help in any way possible.
Okay, because yes, Mr. Goodwin, I would like to do, if it's all right and if it's possible with you, I would like to do an interview with you concerning this annexation process, so that way there's no mistake getting the information out to the public.
Perfect. I'd love that.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you. Okay, so moving on to item D, which is the Streamline website update. The Streamline is our provider. Mm-hmm. We have already, as a board, talked about the fact that Streamline will work with us to update our website. But the big thing is we're gonna need personnel to maintain it. And I think it's very obvious as we get through this annexation that we're gonna need information on the website. Mm-hmm. So I want some input from, who do we turn to maintain our website? How do we wanna do it? Do we wanna issue an RFP? Do we wanna look for a virtual assistant? Are there any thoughts, any suggestions?
I think we should use the people we use for cybersecurity.
They don't do websites.
They do maintenance, which means they maintain. Maybe we should call them and see, because they don't do websites. We ask them to do a website, we ask them to maintain.
I will ask. That's Golden Hills IT. But they had said that it wasn't something that they do, but they may be able to recommend somebody.
Okay.
All right. So you're looking for a coordination between the two.
Okay. Somebody who they trust, because if they trust them, then the software will be in line with the safety that we want.
Okay. All right. And Streamline may be able to suggest somebody too. All right.
Well, I feel like this kind of website, it can kind of be set to autopilot.
It can never be set for autopilot. It needs to be maintained once a week.
Yeah, that's autopilot.
Somebody sitting there personally writing the articles and keeping up with this annexation is autopilot?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Any thoughts? Any suggestions? Okay, item E. Alex, this is you. The discussion and possible.
There was a question? Yeah, I didn't know if she's being public on it now or anything.
What?
If I wanted to comment on that,
sure.
Do you kind of know what all is entailed, what it would take to do that? If it's once a week, is that not something staff would be able to accommodate once a week? Instead of outsourcing and doing additional expenses?
Okay, we'll have to see if staff has the certifications to do it. And we can, we'll ask. Okay, so we'll ask Mary to check that out. I think it's going to be more technical, but we will find out from, because what Streamline said is the person that has to maintain it has to be able to maintain it. It's not just, what were their words? You will need personnel to maintain it. It's not part of the job. So we'll see. Okay, but we'll ask. Okay, so I'll bring that back. Mary, put this down. This D will return on the next agenda with more information. Okay, Alex, moving on to you with E, the discussion and the possible action regarding review update of the employee handbook and the admin code.
Okay, well, as I mentioned before, there's new employment laws which take effect really every year at this point. They'll be effective regardless of whether they're in the employee handbook or not. The best practice for special districts is to intermittently update the handbook. Another reason to do that is one of the benefits of our being incorporated to a larger law firm of Alshire and Winder is that we have very experienced specialists in different areas of law. I am not an employment law specialist. You can't know everything, and I'm very far from that. And what I've recently been working with our employment law specialists on with some other districts updating their employee handbooks. And I think those districts found it helpful. It seemed like an efficient thing to do. And this district's employee handbook hasn't been updated or really looked at by legal counsel for several years now. I think at least 4 years. I can double check that. At least since 2021. So my recommendation is to just go ahead and have them do a review and update. The handbook's a 50-page document. And it covers a lot of matters, but I'm sure our employment law specialists will have a lot of observations, and they would make these proposals. We can, you know, do it in red line side by side, make a short memorandum to summarize the proposals, and then it would bring it back to the board for a resolution to do an update on the employee handbook. Now, you know, it takes a little bit of time to do that, so it costs a little bit of money for the district. That's the downside of doing that, of course. So, you know, I'd recommend doing it because it's tidy and it makes sure things are up to date and it flags any possible issues. Another thing that I often have noticed is inconsistencies between the administrative code and employee handbook that popped up in another district recently. So I think it's worth looking at both of those to make sure everything is consistent and up to date.
Okay, so Alex, I have two questions. The last time we updated the admin code, it was with Manuel Serpa. Is that his, if I got the name right?
Sure.
And it was two, it, what?
I think it was Serpa. I think that was back in 2020.
Yeah, and the way we did it, we had two directors and a district manager and an attorney, and we had a series of meetings where we went over it one page at a time. Do you think we need to do that, or do you think that, how do you want us to direct you to do this?
I think the most efficient thing to do is have our employment law lawyer go through it, flag issues, then have a meeting with either the board or a committee of the board that's tasked with doing it. What I did with the other agency is the employment law lawyers just went through it on Zoom with just a couple board members to whom the full board had delegated the task. And in that case, it took about an hour just to go through the changes and discuss, you know, pros and cons, reason why. And then those committee members reported back to the full board and said, you know, we're to the lawyers here, that here are the changes in some. And so I think that's an efficient way to go, to delegate it to a couple members of the committee.
Okay, so at this point, then, what we're going to ask for is direction on item E to have you have the employment law attorney review both documents and then flag any issues and then bring it back, and then the board can decide whether it's a committee or whether it's the whole board, because we have very small groups, so we might as well, depending on how extensive the review process will be.
But if we do it on Zoom, I guess that wouldn't matter.
We can't do Google Docs. That's called a meeting without a call meeting.
He just said.
Well, it wouldn't be if there were two board members doing it only.
Oh.
That would be acceptable. I'm not sure if it's easier to do it that way, though.
You want to be
the provisions are probably going to be fairly technical.
Okay, does anybody else want to work with Maya? Yeah. Do we need to? No.
Yeah.
Do we need to choose?
Maybe no.
Is it the important director you want to, Director Peralta, you want to be part of this?
Did you say we can do it on Zoom?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so Alex, what we're going to do is we're going to set up an ad hoc committee.
Okay. You'll have to help me.
Of Director Patrick and Director Peralta to work with you on this.
Okay. Then I'll instruct.
We don't have a vote, but that's where we are.
Okay.
So we are, everything we've talked about was just an update, except for we're bringing back D as the next agenda, and on E, the motion will be to direct the legal counsel to have the employment law specialist review both the admin code and the employee handbook, and work with the ad hoc committee of Director Peralta and Director Patrick to bring it back to the board. Okay, so I need a motion for that.
Oh my God.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, Director R. Macedonio, Director Lamaya Patrick. Before I take a vote, any public comments? And I see none on Zoom. All right, Lois, roll call vote, please.
Director Patrick?
Yes.
Director Richard Macedonio?
Yes.
Director Lois Peralta?
Yes.
And President Karen Macedonio?
Yes. Okay, so that passes, and that takes us to a staff report. Mary, I do not have anything in writing, so there was nothing in the director packet. Do you have a district manager?
I can't hear.
You're muted.
No, we can't hear you.
She's still muted.
I do not have anything for the report.
Okay, so the report for our staff report. Okay, closed session. It doesn't say public comments, but I'm going to ask for them. We have a CS1 is a public employee discipline / dismissal release, according to Government Code Section 54957. CS2 is conference with real property negotiators, Government Code Section 54956.5, property address 9300 North Loop, Suites B and C, California City, California 93505, and 8051/8101 Bay Avenue, California City, California 93505. Agency negotiator, Alex Lemieux, District Counsel, negotiating party, Sports Alcedona, under negotiation, price, terms, or both. And CS3 is conference with real property negotiators, subject to Government Code Section 54956.5. Property address is 9350 North Loop, California City, California, 93505. The agency negotiator is Alex Lemieux, District Counsel. Negotiating parties, Adventist Health, Jim Vivian. Under negotiation, price, terms, or both. So are there any director or any public comments on closed session items? Jessica?
I have one. I had given Mary to say during staff report, which I guess she refused to state. Under admin code 2-1.406A2, if the employee discipline / release dismissal pertains to myself, I request that it be a public meeting.
Alex,
have you got?
I did not refuse to say it. I waited until after she was finished speaking.
Okay, can you give me that number again?
Sure. For our admin code 2-1.406A, number 2, I would request it to be a public hearing if it pertains to me in closed session.
Okay.
Okay, so we have that request.
All right, I don't have a response to that comment. If we don't have any other public comments, we can proceed to closed session.
Can I also say in the second?
Okay, so Alex BJ is echoing the same thing that Jessica said.
Okay.
So she's making the same request. Okay, so with that said, I am going to ask, stop the recording.
Recording stopped.
When we come back, when the board's ready, I'm going to hit record. And
great,
then I'm going to do the report out.
Yeah, I've hit record and it's not, I'm not getting anything. I'm hitting record, it's not.
All right, I'll, seemed like I was able to do it.
Mary,
recording in progress.
Okay, we got it.
Here's the recording.
There we go.
It's so strange. I wonder why it's letting me do it and not you. It's like I've posted this a few times, I've received the curse of the Zoom, and only I can do the recording.
Okay, we'll figure this out. Okay, so we are back from closed session. Mr. Alex Lemieux, would you do a report out, please?
Okay, the board met in closed session on three items. First item is CS1, public employee discipline / dismissal release.
Hang on just a minute, just to make sure on this, I'm going to record this. Okay, this has to go into the minutes verbatim, so I'm going to be recording it, and I would appreciate it if you guys would not talk. I just have to figure out how to record.
Can Mary record it from that end?
She doesn't have it. I'm trying to record in case the last time we lost the statement.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you can always contact me. This is going to track the language.
Okay, Alex, you record out and then send it to us in an email, please.
Okay. The first item in closed session is CS1, public employee discipline / dismissal release pursuant to government code section 54957. The board voted 4-0 to authorize counsel to send written notice of termination without cause to two employees. The second item is CS2, conference with real property negotiators pursuant to government code section 54956.5, property address 9300 North Loop, Suites B and C in California City, and 8051/8101 Bay Avenue in California City. Agents negotiator Alex Lemieux. Negotiating parties Bart's Altadona. Under negotiation, price and terms. The board took no reportable action on this item. Third item, CS3, conference with real property negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 549.56.5. Property address 9350 North Loop in California City, California. Agency negotiator Alex Slater. Negotiating party Adventist Health. Under negotiation, price and terms. The board took no reportable action on this item. This concludes council's closed session report.
Okay, thank you very much, Alex. And that puts us at item 10, the president's comments, which I have none. Item 11, future agenda items. I want to make sure that we bring forward the election of officers at the meeting in February. That is when we did it last year, so that's going to be there. Future agenda items, Lamaya, nothing? Lois?
No.
No. Director's comments, item 12, any?
Not at this time.
Not at this time.
No.
And I need a motion for adjournment.
That'd be me.
Lamaya Patrick.
I'll second it.
Richard Macedonio. All in favor?
Aye.
4-0. Okay, we are done for the evening. Thank you very, very much, everybody.
See you guys later.
All right, have a good night.
Take care. Goodbye. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Ah, shit.